Fall is in the air, and that means it's time to harvest and eat apples. David Gilbertson is on the phone with us to educate us about apples. He's owner of Gilby's Apple Orchard in Aiken. David, good morning.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Katie.
Hi.
Your orchard was recently picked by Care 11 TV as one of the top 10 apple orchards in Minnesota. Congratulations on your award. Can you tell us about it?
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I guess we've really, over the years, we've been working really hard at trying to create a destination for people to come with their children and their family, their complete family, and really have a good time. And so we've tried to set up not only really good quality products and apples, but also a great experience. And you know, we believe that that's what kind of leveraged this whole thing to get us on that top 10 list. So we're really excited about it, and we can't thank our customers enough.
And, you know, last time we talked to you was about a year and a half ago. I think it was in March of 2017.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and you had recently planted some First Kiss trees, and you were looking forward to the first apples from those trees last fall. How did that go?
You know, that First Kiss is an apple that has just really got a lot of attention this year. And we were very fortunate. We were working with the University of Minnesota back in 2015. We were awarded a contract to grow First Kiss, and we planted our first trees in 16, and we had fruit in 17. And this year we had pretty good production, and we were able to provide our customers with this First Kiss apple right up until last Saturday. And from what I understand, people were calling the university and trying to find this apple throughout the state, and we were still had some inventory. So we were really excited that we were able to provide our local customers here in this area that quality product, that First Kiss, that new apple.
Tell us about that apple.
The university is always up to trying to find this new and better thing, and it just so happens that they continually use Honeycrisp as a parent. And so they took one of our best apples, Honeycrisp, and then they took Black Arkansas, or Arkansas's best apple, and I believe it was Black Arkansas, and they crossed those two, and they ended up with an apple that it has a tart start, and then, I mean, if you pick the apples, they're very early season picking apples, so you get them like the end of August is when they're ready. But the thing about that apple is not only is it one of the first ones out of the gates for harvesting, it expands the whole season for you to be able to have fruit sooner for your customers. And the apple has 5 months of storage. It's just amazing. This last year, we were doing some cold storage testing, and we got all of that 5 months. But the thing that's even more interesting about it is that for those of you who have purchased that and have that sitting in your refrigerator, you're going to get, this is like a good wine. It's going to get nothing but better. As the starches continue to convert to sugars, it creates this new complexity in its taste and flavor and balances in acids. And so we're finding right now that people are just coming back saying, oh my gosh, I cannot believe how it's changed just in the last few weeks. So if you have it, leave it sit in your refrigerator a little bit. And to ensure you're going to get optimal storage out of it, the best thing you can possibly do is keep it cinched up in that bag that we provide them in, that plastic bag. Keep them in your refrigerator at 40 degrees and keep that bag cinched tight at the top. Don't take the apples out of the bag and put them in your crisper because the refrigerator will dehydrate them. So keep them in that bag, and you're going to have a great apple experience down the road here.
And First Kiss is an apple that I can't grow at my house. This is an apple you have to get in an orchard, right?
Yeah, it's a managed variety. And the university and others have been doing a little bit more with managed varieties because of some of the things that took place with Honeycrisp and how its brand name got compromised when they start growing it outside of its optimal growing region, I should say. And we've tasted Honeycrisp from six different states, and every one of them has a completely different experience. And when the customer goes into the store in January, February, or March and gets a Honeycrisp, you're still wanting to have that great Honeycrisp experience, but they weren't getting it because the apples were not grown in its optimal growing region. And so the university is doing things to try to protect that. So when you have this First Kiss experience or this Sweet Tango experience, that it's something that you're going to be able to repeat. And so that's kind of what's going on with some of these managed varieties.
We are talking with David Gilbertson from Gilby's Apple Orchard in Aitken. You mentioned the First Kiss as an apple that ripens early. And I'm wondering, how do you tell when an apple is ripe and ready to pick?
You know, there's a number of things that you can do. But to keep it simple for the average homeowner, what we really recommend is that you don't ever let your apples get overripe. And so if you go out to your tree and you start doing a taste test of what you would think would be about 2 or 3 weeks before you think your apples are ready, just start tasting them and see if they're starting to lose some of that starchy taste and move more to more sugars. And then what a very, very good indicator is to check the seeds. And if the seeds are fully brown, that's a good indication that the apple is getting very close to being ready. And then we encourage you to get those apples off the tree before they get overripe, because as they get overripe, you're compromising your storage also.
And is there a proper way to pick an apple, to pluck it off that tree?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. You know, at Gilby's, we have so many children that come in with classes. And the very first thing we do with anybody that goes to our orchard, because of the fact that we let them pick our premium fruit. Like right now, we're picking Sweet Tango. And if indeed they pluck, if you will, the apple from the tree, what ends up happening is the stem connects to a fruit spur. And that fruit spur, it could ideally be a fruit spur, and that could then compromise your fruit production for the following year. It's really important that you spin that fruit. We spin it and spin it and spin it, and then soft earth then gradually lift, and that fruit will fall off right in your hand. And so we really encourage you harvest your fruit that way, so you're not compromising your fruit production for the following year.
Do you have like a most popular apple that you sell at Gilby's Orchard?
Well, you know, it's interesting what's most popular. Of course, First Kiss this year, people were coming for 4 hours one way to get First Kiss. But right now, Sweet Tango is really the one that people are after, you know, and we are currently picking that in our orchard, as I had mentioned. That is kind of moving almost into first place. But the good old Honeycrisp, which is now also ready to pick, that's just your rock-solid apple that has, I mean, if you store that apple correctly, like we talked earlier, there shouldn't be any reason why you can't get 5 or 6 months worth of storage out of that apple.
Wow, that's great. Give us an audio tour of your orchard. Tell us what we'll see when we come to Gilby's for a visit.
Well, people, I think, are kind of fascinated. And if you want to really get an optimal audio tour, you could actually get an audio and visual tour. We have this drone. We had this program put together last year where we had a drone fly over and do a whole visual of what's going on in the orchard. And it's pretty cool. So, I mean, that's right on our homepage of our website, if indeed you'd like to see that. But to give you an audio version of it, as you pull in, you're going to see all these things flying in the sky. We have our bird scare systems where we have big balloons and 3D reflective tape. And so all of this is flickering as you're beginning to walk through the orchard. And as you're walking through the orchard, the trees are right now, in many cases, the ones that have not been harvested yet, are just fully loaded with Sweet Tango, Honeycrisp, Harrelson, and Chestnut Crab and other apples. And we try to keep a perfectly clean orchard. One of the things that we really strive for in our orchard is that we like to keep the orchard floor clean with no apples, due to the fact that when families come in with their children, we're concerned that they could possibly get stung by bees because the bees are attracted to any fallen fruit. So we try to keep a very clean, well-organized orchard. I guess that would probably be the best way I could sum it up.
And you have an annual apple festival, and that starts this weekend. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is our fourth annual festival, and we do it 3 weekends in a row. And we've been just watching the weather, and it looks like the weather is really going to be on our side this year. Last year, we had to cancel our first Apple Fest, and this year, it looks like, you know, we're going to be able to have a pretty good day on Saturday and Sunday. So we're really excited about that. We probably have 15 or 20 different crafters that come in, and then we have food concession trucks, and then we do all kinds of fun things for the kids, whether it's pony rides, hay rides, carriage rides, We have our Apple Blaster where you can test your skills at shooting apples at targets in the woods. You can go through our scavenger hunt and our corn maze, which we're really excited about this year. We have incorporated a theme, which is our Wizard of Oz theme. And in the corn maze, we've already had some children that have been through it that are taking pictures. And what we're encouraging parents to do is to dress up as a character for the Wizard of Oz. And as you're in the corn maze or wherever you're at at Gilby's, take a picture, post it on our Facebook page, and you have an opportunity to win $50 of Gilby's cash. And we're doing two of those, and we've had some pictures of Dorothy. We put in a yellow brick road, and the yellow brick road walks right up to Emerald City. And we have some pictures that are just incredible. So it's a great opportunity to get some wonderful photo ops for your family.
Wow, and that starts this weekend. What are the hours when you open?
The hours are, we open at 9 and we close at 5, and we're open 7 days a week right now.
And now tell me about last winter and the growing season and this summer. How did the trees do? What was your last year like?
This last winter, I was a little bit concerned because of the cold temperatures. And it's not really the cold temperatures I was concerned about, but it was the duration of the cold temperatures. And with the duration of the cold temperatures, I think that in some cases, some of our fruit spurs, and not only the fruit spurs, but leaf spurs, were compromised through the winter. Now, some of the trees came through it with flying colors, which is kind of amazing. And others seem to be negatively impacted by that. And so, you know, some people may have experienced some trees that had very little, if any, production. And also, when they started to leaf out, they weren't leafing out correctly. And then all of a sudden, they picked up and started leafing out a little bit later in the season. And I really think that that winter was a little bit tough on some of our trees, but we did get through it, and we do have a pretty good crop. But that would be one thing. And then this year, it just seems like that nasty four-letter word, hail, has been plaguing many people. And we had hail 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we maybe lost 10 or 15% of our crop due to hail. But other than that, the growing season has been pretty good for us. You know, we would maybe like it to be a little drier. And for those of you that are coming out to Gilby's, you know, we do encourage you to bring, if you're going to be going on all of our different events through the maze and spruce scavenger hunt, that we encourage you to wear your mud boots and whatever, because there are spots that might be a little muddy, even though, because I think we're supposed to have more rain again this week.
And you also operate a nursery at Gilby's. What... When should people think about ordering new trees for spring planting?
We're encouraging people to be thinking about what they want to plant next year already. The nice thing is that for people that want to plant their own little orchard, mini orchard, whether it's one tree up to whatever, hundreds of trees, what we really try to do is help people design their orchard. Not only are we looking at the varieties of trees that we can offer our customers, but we can help them select the correct rootstocks. And people are saying, what in the world is a rootstock? Well, there's two primary components to an apple tree. One is the rootstock, which controls the growth habit of the tree, and the other is the variety of tree, or what we call the scion. So if you have a Honeycrisp tree, you can get that on different rootstocks, and those different rootstocks control the growth habit of the tree. And so it's really important we understand what our customers' expectations are, and then what we do is we put them together with the right trees that are going to get optimal pollination in the correct growing environment.
Are there rootstocks and varieties that you particularly recommend?
We have moved to a high-density apple-growing system, and we're actually planting trees right now on dwarfing rootstocks, and we have the trees planted 30, maybe 34 inches apart, and we have wires going between them, and we use those wires to help support those trees and control the trees for optimal fruit production. And so that's really been popular, and we found that many people that even if they did have a smaller yard or they wanted instant gratification, that this dwarf growing system is really a interesting concept. And not only that, some of the dwarf rootstocks are so cold hardy that they're probably more cold hardy than most varieties of trees that you would just buy at your standard nursery.
So do you have any fall tips for those of us who have apple trees? What should we be looking at and doing this fall?
I think the first thing is that as you're looking at your tree, you know, right now, if your tree is really loaded with fruit, if you had a good year, make sure that as this fruit is going to be bulking and sizing, it's still bulking right now. And just to try to protect your branches to make sure that they don't have too much fruit so that they would break. The second thing would be, as you want to prepare them for winter, you want to be, especially on young trees, you want to protect that south side of the tree. So many trees are damaged by sun scald. And so what we do in the fall of the year is we either make sure we have these white wraps which reflect the sun, or what we do is we use a latex paint, an exterior latex paint, and we go 50% paint, 50% water, and we paint the south side of the tree up maybe to the second or third scapel branch. And this does a very good job of reflecting that sun so that you don't compromise that with sun scald. We also recommend that, you know, some people are fertilizing later in the season, and that would probably be the worst thing that you could do right now is, you know, put tree spikes or something in where you're going to be trying to feed that tree, because you want that tree to be hardening off right now. All the way from summer solstice through as we get to winter, that tree should be hardening off, not growing new additional growth. And then, you know, after you have your tree protected from sun scald, these little buggers called meadow voles are one of our biggest pests. And so we just encourage you to put some hardware cloth or something around that tree at the base of the tree to protect it from them girdling that tree. For probably the last thing would be is to, you want to make sure that you have your grass cut very low around the trees. If you have your grass cut very low around the trees, then you're going to have less activity with the meadow voles trying to work through there. And we found a really good tip that if you have a few trees, and like we have rows of trees, what we'll do as soon as we get that first snowfall, if it's 4, 5, 6 inches, is we'll drive the car, the truck, or the tractor or something up and down the rows. And so we compact that snow. And the meadow voles don't like that because they don't like to cross that real hard area. And so it's another deterrent. And the more we can do to deter the meadow voles, the less opportunity they're going to have to compromise your trees.
Fascinating. This is Katie.
Yes,
what do you? Yes, how Katie. Do you like to cook? What are some of your favorite ways to cook apples or eat them?
Well, I don't do a lot of the cooking of the apples. My wife does most of that. So I can tell you this, that she's making sweet tango applesauces and sweet tango crisps and other things, and it's just amazing. And as we pick our fruit and as we have some of our fruit that's been compromised in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a stem poke, bruise, or whatever, mm-hmm. we take this fruit and we actually have it on specials where we take $1 a pound off, and then you can use this for some of your processing. And we have some of that available right now. And so I guess I can't speak to any more than that, maybe, but we've also then taken some and we've made some new pepper jams. We've made some sweet tango jellies and pepper jams that we're really thinking are going to be popular.
That is David Gilbertson. He's owner of Gilby's Apple Orchard in Aiken. David, thanks for all the information you gave us today and taking the time to talk with us this morning.